Democrat voters are in complete disarray right now because there is no Democrat leadership. The age of Obama and Clinton is over. So the question is, who do they turn to? Well, they've come out with some new polling on who Democrats want to be their nominee in 2028. And I want to show y'all, I have some Republicans one too that I'll show a bit later. So without further ado, here are the polling. This is for the 2028 Democratic primary poll. And what you can see here with 33% is Kamala Harris. And then, of course, underneath her is Pete Buttigieg, 9%, Newsom, 7%. I'm reading these off for those of you who can't watch. AOC, 6%. I forgot, frankly, she could run for president. That's crazy. Josh Shapiro, 3%. Tim Walz, what? 3%. Stephen A. Smith, what? 2%, which ironically enough, Stephen A. Smith is the one person where if he ran for president as a Democrat, I'd be like, okay, you know, I wouldn't vote for him, but like, it's interesting. It's compelling to a degree. In any case, I just don't understand how Kamala Harris is the best they got and how Democrat voters saw the performance that she just put up and thought, yeah, we want more of that. Like, that's what we want. And make no mistake, guys, Kamala Harris is not going to be the nominee. I just don't believe it. As much as I want her to, I would love for Kamala Harris to be the Democrat nominee in 2028 because she has an awful candidate. She's so bad. I'm confident that Kamala Harris would lose to almost any Republican. Almost any Republican, barring some crazy miracle in her favor. So I'm good if she runs. I don't think it's going to happen. And the reason why is because I think that Democrats have, and when I say Democrats, I mean the elite. I think the elite has learned their lesson somewhat. Because when you don't hold primaries, you don't get the best candidate. And that's what happened with Kamala Harris. She didn't have to get in a primary, so she won. If she's in a primary circumstance, if she has to do that, she cannot handle it. And Exhibit A is in 2020 when she did not get a single delegate and was one of the first Democrats to drop out. And I think that they've learned their lesson. They're going to hold a primary because they can't. There's no excuse this time. There was a bit of an excuse this last time. Like, oh, it's last minute. We don't have time for this. People already like Kamala Harris. There's no excuse when they lost last time. There's no incumbent, right? And so they have to run the primary. If they run the primary, I don't think Kamala Harris is going to win because she sucks in a debate. Once she's put under scrutiny, as we saw with Tulsi Gabbard, she gets destroyed. If there's a Tulsi Gabbard on the stage, Kamala Harris is done. So conversely also, this is another good, I think, evidence for the fact that she would not win, is in 2016 when we saw like 40 people run for the Republican nomination, Trump included, and Trump had to fight all 40 of them to get to the end. And when he got to the end, he was a tried and true candidate, and then he won. And that was very different than Democrats in 2016, who essentially, even though they did have a primary, was much smaller, and they essentially just crowned the victory to Hillary Clinton. She was not tried and true. She lost. I think the same thing would happen to Kamala Harris. So, and I think Democrats are smart enough, they're not smart, I'm not going to say that, but they're smart enough to realize the mistakes that they made in 2024. I don't think they're going to make quite the same ones in 2028. But to be honest, guys, I don't even think Kamala Harris will run. I don't even think she's going to run for president. And the reason why is because she lost so bad this time. And I think it's because there is a spot for her as governor of California because Gavin Newsom can't be governor there forever. And so I think that's kind of what she's lined up to do. And I think she knows if she runs for president, she's going to get shellacked in the primary, just as I talked about. And so the Democrats here are the Democrat voters. I don't understand this, but somehow they're stupid enough to elect her anyway. That's basically what's happening. They're saying as of now, she is their favorite. That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. But at the end of the day, the primary process will be probably very messy for Democrats, and we'll see what they come up with. I think it's probably, I talked about it in another video. I think it's probably going to be Josh Shapiro or Pete Buttigieg. And I think either of those candidates would be fairly good in a debate setting. But when you look at the brass tacks of things, I'm not really afraid, especially if we go against who the Republican Party wants. And here are the Republican primary voter polls that came out at the same time as the Democrat ones. This is, again, 2028 GOP primary poll. And you can see that J.D. Vance has 27% of the vote. Trump Jr. with 21%. I do have to say, Trump Jr. is weird. I'll talk about it more in a second, but Trump Jr. at 21% strikes me as very strange. So I do question the validity of this poll just a little bit. DeSantis is at 8%, Marco Rubio at 3%, Tulsi Gabbard at 3%, and then all these other people, Ramaswamy, Haley, Abbott, Youngkin. None of those are bad except Nikki Haley. I'd be fine with any of them. Here's the deal, though. Depending on how J.D. Vance does over the next 4 years, I'm actually really cool with him being president. J.D. Vance was not my pick for VP. He's not who I wanted Donald Trump to pick. But after seeing him on the campaign trail, he's very smart. He's a good defender of conservatism, and he's very America first. So at the end of the day, if J.D. Vance was our nominee, and I predict he will be, that would be fantastic. I have no problem. But Don Jr., being at 21%, I think is a little ridiculous, I have to say. And I think the Trump family should be involved in the Republican Party, and they should be making changes in it, and they should be leading it, and they should be in charge of managing the party. All that's fine. But I don't see Don Jr. as president. And I think the reason why I say that is because I think he would be massively unpopular to moderates. I think he would be a famously bad choice for Republicans. So I'm not going to lie, seeing that 21% for Trump Jr. scares me a bit. I think that's a humongo mistake. Fortunately, this is so early, I think that he would dwindle away. I think DeSantis and Vivek Ramaswamy and maybe even Tulsi Gabbard would lead him in the polling. Overall, I think J.D. Vance, again, if he does a good job, there's no way that anyone's going to pass him up just because he's going to have the endorsement of Donald Trump and people are going to see him as a continuation of MAGA, which is a good thing, of course. And I think Ron DeSantis would make a really good VP to J.D. Vance, for instance. I think Vivek Ramaswamy or Glenn Youngkin would also make a fantastic VP spot, or even president. I think they're good too. But I think what's clear from looking at both of these polls for the Democrats and the Republicans is you look at the Democrats and they've got nobody. There's just no leadership there whatsoever. These people, you can't point to a single good thing they've done. I think really the only person I look at and I think, yeah, he's moderate, he comes from a swing state, and he's never done anything bad is Josh Shapiro. And that's why my prediction is Josh Shapiro will be their nominee. I think if they go through a rigorous primary process, that's what the voters are going to come down to and what the elite is going to want, because they want to win. But, and Josh Shapiro is also, frankly, a product of the establishment. And so he'll very much be in favor of pushing forward their agenda. For that reason, the establishment is going to be on board with him. It's not going to be a problem. But then you look, converse, and again, no leadership on the Democrat Party except maybe Josh Shapiro. You look at the Republican side. Again, just pulling up these people. J.D. Vance, awesome. Ron DeSantis, awesome. Marco Rubio, awesome. Tulsi Gabbard, awesome. Vivek Ramaswamy. Glenn Youngkin and Abbott, fantastic. These are good Republicans, and these aren't even all of them. This is just a one list. And yet every single one of them is better than the best that Democrats have to offer. And again, the best, in my opinion, that Democrats have to offer right now is polling at approximately 3%. And the worst, pretty much, they have to offer is Kamala Harris at 33%. Guys, if you're tired of dealing with clunky, bloated form builders that make everything harder than it has to be, then you need to check out DefForm. It's the simple, intuitive form creator that you have been waiting for. There's no subscription fees. DefForm is available with a one-time payment or prepaid options. Plus, you can create unlimited forms and collect unlimited responses, and you don't have to pay extra for additional team members. It's already trusted by 1,200 users worldwide. If you need to upload files, DefForm lets you do that as well. You get unlimited uploads with files up to 50 megabytes. And when it's time to say thanks, you can customize your thank you page or send users to a different link. Since launching in April, DefForm has helped users collect over 32,000 responses. And right now, you can get 20% off with my code JoshCarr. So if you want to streamline stress-free form building experience, check out DefForm today. You can visit DefForm.com and remember to use that discount code when you check out, or you can go to the link in the description below. There's so much noise from the left and the mainstream media right now about how crazy Trump's first 2 weeks have been and how controversial his cabinet picks are. And we just got the polling out on the approval ratings for his cabinet, and they pretty much refute everything that the mainstream media is saying. So without further ado, I want to show you the approval ratings for kind of the most prominent members of Donald Trump's cabinet. Here they are. We'll start at the top. We have RFK Jr. with a +7 net approval rating. What that means, when it says +7, what it means is there are 7% more that approve than disapprove. So if he has a 47% approval rating, then that means if he has net 7, that means his disapproval would be 40. So it doesn't necessarily mean he's at 57 if it's plus 7. It just means 7% more support him than don't support him. RFK Jr. is at plus 7. That's the highest one. That's very, very supportive, by the way. That's great favorability rating. The fact that people are talking about RFK Jr. not getting approved is crazy. And frankly, if people don't, it would be wild to me. But I think they will, because they'll look at these numbers and they know that they're going to have hell to pay with their constituents if they don't nominate or if they don't confirm RFK Jr. Pam Bondi plus 2, very good. Trump plus 2, very good. J.D. Vance plus 2, very good. Then we go into the ties. Marco Rubio is a tie, and Tulsi Gabbard is a tie. And this is one I think that's very interesting. Tulsi Gabbard has had more mud thrown at her, more lies thrown at her than anyone else except for maybe Donald Trump. And it's honestly astounding, I think, that because if you look at 2017 Trump, with all the allegations about Russian, just all the Russian disinformation, Tulsi Gabbard is dealing with all the same things. But if you look at 2017 Trump, what you're seeing is a -5 to -10 favorability rating for him. Where conversely, today, Trump is plus 2 and Tulsi Gabbard dealing with the same things are a tie in terms of favorability, meaning a 50% approve, 50% disapprove. It's right in the middle. And why I think that is so significant is because what it means is that the mainstream media has lost their hold on the information. People are seeing through the lies. Because as I said, if this is a Tulsi Gabbard from 2017, she has a -5 to -10 approval rating. But it's a tie today. And the reason why is because people are trusting truer sources of information and not listening to the crap that the mainstream media is selling them. Going down the list more, Elon Musk is -4. Not a huge surprise. He's pretty controversial. AOC is -5. This is what's kind of crazy. This, I think, really shows you just how bad AOC has it. AOC is like hardly anybody. She's one congresswoman. Elon Musk is in the limelight more than anybody, and he chooses to do very controversial things. Go check out his X. Go check it out. I'm not saying X. I'm saying his profile on X. He says some wild stuff, and I love all of it. Don't get me wrong, but I could see why it'd be controversial for some. The fact that AOC is in the same boat as him, worse than him, really. -5 as opposed to -4 is not a good sign for her, especially in terms of her chances for running for president, which she might do in 2028. Then we have Sam Altman. He doesn't have a lot to do with Donald Trump's cabinet. He's the founder of OpenAI. People don't love him right now. Pete Hegseth is -8. The mainstream media have been very effective at demonizing him. And then Biden is at -18. So all of this, you look at all these people, except for AOC and Sam Altman, all of these people are on Trump's team, or they're Trump himself. And they range from +7 to -8, with +7 RFK Jr. being the most popular and Hegseth being the least popular. But even the least popular is 10% better than the person who just left the White House for Democrats. That is how bad it is for Democrats right now. Again, Hegseth, not super popular, -8. Biden, -18. I just can't get over those numbers. That is such a disparity for them. By the way, if you want to look at the odds of Trump's other cabinet members being approved, Hegseth was approved, and he is the least popular person on the list. And so I think that spells very, very good things for Donald Trump's picks going forward. And so no, answering the mainstream media, Trump's cabinet picks are not unpopular. They're very popular. In fact, the worst one is 10% more popular than Joe Biden. They are hugely popular, even despite all the lies from the mainstream media. So I have no doubt that they're going to get confirmed. I think every single one. And they should be confirmed, by the way, because as soon as they are, if you think you've enjoyed Trump's first week as president, you ain't seen nothing yet. I used to hate filing my taxes until I partnered with QuickTax America, a patriotic company that believes in getting you every single dollar because they believe taxation is theft. QuickTax America is a non-woke company that does all federal returns for only $69, and it's completely transparent price because it's their only price, no matter how complicated your taxes are. What's more, guys, they do all the work for you. No more spending 4 hours like other big online services. Instead, you simply upload your files, answer a few questions, and schedule a 15-minute finish your return call with a tax professional, and they do all the rest of the work. Go check them out at quicktaxamerica.com. When you get your taxes, documents, or you can go to the link in the description below. Thank you so much for watching, guys. If you haven't already, go down below, like the video, subscribe to my channel, and watch another video.